You're listening to IPL 2021 Hotspot Special Edition, powered by Earshot.in. Chase, hello and welcome to this latest episode of Hotspot Special Edition IPL 2021. As always, I'm your host, Chetan Narula, and my friend in London, Daniel Norcross, BBC commentator. Today, there's a lot to discuss, and not just about the cricket. I mean, the cricket is going on. Is it going on in a tone-deaf environment with whatever is happening in India? Today, we try and look at the various aspects of the situation that is currently prevailing in India. I mean, if you have been following on Twitter, on social media, news, anywhere and everywhere, you know what is happening in India. And you know that the IPL is going on. There's a lot of debate on that situation. So we'll be taking stock of everything that is going on. Let's start with how it all began. It was Ravichandran Ashwin who pulled out from the Delhi Capitals bio bubble, and then he went home citing that he needs to be with his family. And then three Australian cricketers, Andrew Tai, Kane Richardson and Adam Zampa, they decided to step out of their bio bubbles and wanted to fly home. Of course, a lot of flights to and from India have been cancelled. Almost all nations not allowing any travel to or from India. Of course, after that, there have been certain developments. Pat Cummins has donated generously $50,000 to the Prime Minister's Care Fund. And Brett Lee also generously donating one Bitcoin, which is 40 lakh, almost equivalent to 40 lakh Indian rupees. Daniel, to start off with, how do you think this exodus of four players has impacted? What is the viewpoint from the outside world, or at least outside India?
Well, it's a very complicated one, isn't it? You're looking at cultures, you're looking at attitudes, you're looking at individuals and how the situation is affecting them. It's very difficult to censor somebody or support somebody for the decisions they make in these situations, because they're very, very specific to the individual. There are arguments for and against the whole tournament going on. There are arguments that you can entirely understand when players get agitated, nervous, anxious, especially Australian players, because Australia has had a zero tolerance policy to COVID. It's not eradicated it, but there's so little of it. And the attitude of the Australian government has been one of quite extreme lockdowns at the first sight of any cases. So the players have arrived in India with that background, and they bring that attitude with them. So you can entirely understand why what is unfolding in India at the moment must be very concerning for them. What we get in England is, as you say, we get the Twitter view, we get the news view. We don't have the lived experience of it. And, you know, I'd be really interested to find out from you. You're right in the midst of it at the moment. And you talked about, is it tone deaf to be going on or is it not? Just, I mean, what's your personal feeling sitting where you are about what we're hearing is kind of chaos unfolding outside the bubbles, but the bubbles themselves holding up very well?
Let's start with what you mentioned. First of all, the chaos that is unfolding outside the bio bubbles. Anybody who's tuning in right now, anybody who's watching news, listening in, social media, following Twitter, anything and everything, it's chaotic in India, and that's an understatement. The system has collapsed, or it's almost on the brink of collapse. Let me put it as kindly as I can put it. The central government was sleeping at the wheel for the last 6 to 8 months, but it's not their fault entirely, because in India, the federal system is divided between central government and the state's government, something similar to what Australia has. The only difference is that in Australia, the state governments are more powerful than the federal government, but in India, the central government is more powerful than the state governments. However, there needs to be a certain cooperation between those two parts of the federal structure. And for the last 6 to 8 months, there has been no cooperation. For the last 6 to 8 months, the state governments have been asleep at the wheel. And similarly, the central government has been asleep at the wheel as well. So here we are. We should have controlled the second wave when it started out in January and February in some local clusters of India. We did not. Then it became a national crisis, and now the national crisis is unfolding because the central government has been a mute spectator, and in some cases it has enabled decisions which have been against the very fabric of containing a global pandemic or a pandemic which is raging across the country, whether it's religious reasons or whether it's election-related reasons, all of that has been in the wrong from the central government. So, and this is where we are, and this is as kindly as I can put it, this is where we are right now. The health system is crippled. It's collapsing. There's a lack of oxygen. There's a lack of beds. There's a lack of medication. There's a black marketing of materials. There's hoarding of materials. There are a few state governments, especially where I am in Delhi, the state government here is doing absolutely nothing. It's just a mute spectator. The central government has had to step in, button again and again. And yes, it's chaotic, especially on the outside. I mean, Daniel, we are all living in a bio bubble of our own. I am not stepping outside home. I haven't stepped outside of my home for the last 12 days. I am not planning to step out. I'm not going to step out anytime soon. So we are all living in our own bio bubbles. It's not just the IPL bio bubbles, but at the same time, people who are outside right now, most of them are looking for healthcare and they're not getting it because the system is crippled. And that's where the chaos is. The death count is up. The death rate is up. There's been underreporting. The amount of testing has gone down. It's complete chaos and it's troubling. It's troubling. Yes, my relatives are fine. My immediate family is fine. But when you see it on such a scale, when you see it on social media, when you see it on Twitter, it affects you mentally. It just affects you mentally. And I'm not the only one speaking this way. I know for a fact there are others and I can vouch for it. And there are kids in my housing complex who haven't stepped out for 12 days. My neighbor who was positive, I know his kids are cricket fans. They can't step out because their dad is COVID positive. They can't see their dad. Their dad is a cricket fan. He's probably watching cricket 7 p.m. every night. His kids are watching cricket 7 p.m. every night. Sunday, I was overwhelmed with whatever was happening. And the only respite I found was in CSK versus RCB. So look, there are pros and cons or for and against for every debate. And IPL is no different. However, at this point in time, we are sitting on a very fine moral and ethical line, and there is no right or wrong here. I do not know. I'm a sports journalist. I'm a cricket journalist. I earn from the IPL, but I do not know whether it is right or wrong for the IPL to continue. There are some people who think it is right for it to continue. There are some people who think it is wrong for it to continue. Personally, I do not know whether it's right or wrong for it to continue.
I'm going to give you the English perspective, I guess, and not specifically on the IPL, because back in December, January, Britain was also actually on the verge of chaos. We had massively escalating case rates. Our hospitals were told on the brink of full capacity, and a similar situation was developing, albeit on a smaller scale, because Britain's a smaller country. And what was interesting was that there was no debate here about the Premier League continuing. Football went on, and there was a kind of assumption that it was helpful for morale. The precedent had been kind of set last summer because Britain, again, was one of the first countries to be hit very, very badly by COVID, along with other major European nations, Italy, France, etc. And all sport had shut down. No one knew how that they would be able to make it safe. And then football started and cricket was very much to the fore, creating the bio bubbles that we saw in the series against West Indies and Pakistan last year. And those bio bubbles were created at a time actually when case rates started to drop very, precipitately, partly because we had the original variant, which was less infectious, and partly because our lockdowns were very strict and did really, really work. And it was slightly easier, I think, in Britain to make them work, perhaps. So when cricket came up, we were deluged in Test Match Special with messages saying, thank you so much. We've been desperately waiting for this. We've had no sport. This is an escape from our daily life. And this was a kind of a pattern of thought that developed in England, that sport actually was a helpful thing. Now, I'm hesitant to suggest that that's necessarily the case in India, because every culture is different. We're very mindful of the fact that the IPL happens every day at a certain time, and that it's the most watched program in India, and that it may therefore help people both with their morale and also to keep them indoors. But you know, I'm never totally convinced by that argument because, Chetan, I mean, maybe you can answer this. Do you think people would be outdoors if it wasn't for the IPL? Or because, you know, the very strong advice is to stay indoors anyway. It's just that if at least there's the IPL on, when they're indoors, they'll be watching something they enjoy. Whereas if it wasn't on, they wouldn't be getting it. That appears to be sort of the crux of that argument. Is that a fair characterization?
To be honest, yes and no. Yes, because it is keeping people distracted. Like I said, I mean, live sport or live cricket is something that is more watched than your regular entertainment. I mean, there's only so much Netflix you can watch. There's only so much movies or TV channels or soap operas you can watch. At some point of time, it becomes monotonous day in, day out, year after year. But there's always live sport or there's always other distractions. And of course, the other option is to watch the news, which are already pretty depressing at the moment. The other side of it is it really doing a lot to keep people inside? No, I don't think so. I don't think so. If the IPL wasn't there, would people go outside? I mean, last year we had the national lockdown. Currently, we do not have the national lockdown. Last year, we had the national lockdown. Right now, we have local curfews and local lockdowns. The entire country is not under lockdown. And I know you're shaking your head, and I can see that. And trust me, that is exactly reaction of most of the population. Why aren't we in a national lockdown? But different state governments, like I said, have been given the authority to deal with their areas and communities the way they seem fit. So Karnataka, Bangalore, they have a bit of a lockdown. Mumbai, Maharashtra, they have a bit of a lockdown. In Delhi, we don't have a lockdown. We have a curfew. So different parts of India have different varieties and different ranges of lockdown at the moment. It's not a cohesive central lockdown like last year. But again, coming to the point, in the last national lockdown that we had at the similar time last year, we had no IPL. The IPL happened in September, October. Did people go outside? No, they did not. They did not. The crux of the matter is, if there would be no IPL, people would still know that, okay, we cannot go outside. We are sitting home. We have to sit home. So the argument that IPL is keeping people at home doesn't really cut it with me. No, it does not. The only argument that cuts it with me is that, yes, it's a distraction. People need a distraction. Do we need such an exorbitant, such an extravagant distraction? Maybe, maybe not. Let's not forget, there's a lot of money riding on it. Like you mentioned, the Premier League is probably one of the most expensive sporting properties which happen annually, which have happened season after season after season. It's not like the FIFA World Cup. It's not like the Olympics. It's happening regularly. Similarly, you have Formula One. Right? So these are expensive sporting properties. The IPL is a very expensive sporting property. It's paying money to a lot of people, not just the BCCI and IPL governing bodies. It's paying the cricketers, it's paying broadcasters, the cameramen, the groundsmen, journalists like us. And when I say us, there are so many others who are so dependent on the IPL for money. The hospitality sector, the traveling sector, don't mind me saying this, even the health sector, because the bio bubbles have their own testing and PPE kits and everything. So they're all keeping them afloat. It's part of the Indian economy. The IPL is part of the Indian economy. So I don't buy this argument that it's keeping people inside. No. It's keeping people distracted. Yes. It also gives back money to a certain section of people. Yes. Those two are the arguments. The biggest point for me is the IPL tone deaf? Is the BCCI tone deaf? You look at the Premier League example that you gave, and it was perfect because I watched the Premier League, and every time the Premier League matches started, the message was sent out that you need to stay home, that you need to mask up, that you need to take all proper precautions. And the stadiums were filled like that. You had banners and you had posters and, you know, just stay at home. We miss you, but we'll win this fight and then we'll come back. What has the IPL done? There is no messaging. For the first 10, 12 days, there was no messaging from the BCCI, from the IPL, from the Indian cricketers. Yes, Virat Kohli sent out a video on Royal Challengers Bangalore's Twitter. Is that enough? No, it's not enough. What about the people who don't follow RCB? You have such big voices. Get them to speak. Get them to talk to people. Now they are sending out videos of commentators telling people to stay inside. Why now? Why on the 12th or 15th day? Why didn't it happen from day one? It needs to happen from day one because people idolize these cricketers, these ex-cricketers, commentators, your superstars. Get Virat Kohli to talk. I mean, it's RCB versus Delhi Capitals. Get Virat Kohli to talk. Get Rishabh Pant to talk. just do as much as you can. You have 6 stadiums that you're using for the matches. Convert the other stadiums into healthcare facilities, because people are lacking beds. People are lacking space for healthcare facilities. Do it. You are sitting on a cash pile. Give away that money. Arrange for ventilators. Arrange for healthcare services. Do something. Just don't do it for optics. That's been the problem with the BCCI. That's been the problem with this tournament that is going on right now.
I'm in agreement with a lot, well, all of that, Chetan. And I would say that there's one really sort of glaring issue looking at it from the outside in. And I want to stress this, every comment I make is made with only partial knowledge of the situation, but because I'm 5,000 miles away. But you talk about the tone deafness, and you talk about why we're having this debate in actual fact. And I think in large part, it isn't helped by those optics that we see and of owners and people who are associated with the franchises, sat close to each other, often with masks not properly affixed to their faces. And it gives the impression a little bit of decadence, of a little bit like fiddling while Rome was burning. You know, there's a sort of Nero element to it. Now, I'm sure those people are not heartless and they're not, you know, wishing ill on anyone else. But if you were looking in from the chaos of where you are, Chetan, or if you're in Mumbai watching it, then it doesn't really give you a mood lift if you see, does it? Quite a lot of, you know, wealthy people sat next to each other, getting the privileged access to the cricket. The way we did it here was that you didn't see really anybody except the players and the staff. So the Premier League, you saw the players, and, you know, people complain sometimes about the way, you know, the players rolled around on the floor or hugged when they scored a goal and they had to be reminded not to do it. But we didn't, you know, cut to pictures of Roman Abramovich or similar, you know, the owners. So there was this very real sense that there was something rather ascetic at play. They were going off, they were playing the games in these empty stadia. You could choose when you were watching it to have artificial crowd noise or not. And a lot of people chose not to have the crowd noise. They just wanted the pure experience of what was going on. Because, you know, the crowd noise was actually, if anything, sort of goading people. You know, I imagine what it'd be like if you were there. Well, we're not there. Let's face the reality of it. I'd be interested in your view on this, because the cameras keep on panning to, you know, young, healthy people not properly masked up, who I imagine are fairly well off. And I think, does that need to go? That's one of the first things that needs to go. One of the other things you've touched on that's so important is a coordinated response from all of the different franchises. We've seen the players have to make their own running, really, with Pat Cummins, for example. You mentioned Brett Lee. These are individual acts, and they're very welcome individual acts. But as you say, isn't it time that each franchise got together, coordinated what the messaging they wanted to put out, and put that messaging out? And also, I come back to my first point, it cannot look like some people are just having fun, because that's what the problem, you know, while other people are suffering. If you're going to say that you're doing something selflessly, then don't show us a picture of 25 people who you know are in the hospitality area. I mean, is that fair of me, or is that being just a bit bitter?
Well, you're absolutely right. And I think that's the first thing that's catching the eye nowadays, because, okay, I'll explain why they're there. They're part of the entourage, players' wives, owners, part of the media team. I know for a fact that there is one franchisee which has banned this entourage. They're no longer going to the stadium with the players, but there are other teams, and I don't want to take names, but there are other teams which are all getting that entourage to the ground. And the problem is not just the entourage coming to the ground. The problem is not them cheering, because that's what they did last year in the UAE as well. The problem is every time there's a 4 or a 6 or a wicket or a miss or anything, you pan to that small crowd of 20, 25 people to see their reaction. Why do you need to do that? Why do you need to do that? You have players on the field, grab their reaction, because they cannot be masked up. Those 25 people, I cannot for the life of me understand why can't they mask up. We've seen pictures of some of the media team. We've seen pictures of some of the owners or representatives of the owners, the team management sitting there. Why aren't they masked up? Why do they need to be there in the first place? Why can't they just simply be banned? Why can't they watch it from the team hotels? I think that should be the first step. Either ban them or draw a line in the sand. You are either masked up or you're banned. Also, the producers and the directors need to be told, why are you panning towards them? Even if they're there, even if they're enjoying themselves, you know, even if they're cheering their team, and that's you're supposed to be allowed to do that in a sport, but don't show them. Why do you need to show them? So this whole packaging of the IPL probably needs to be redone. You need to stop celebrating to a large extent. They're not celebrating it, but it needs to be stopped. Last week, I saw after one game, there were fireworks. Really? Really? There are drone shots over Chennai, over Mumbai. Really? You really want to show the cities right now? So this whole packaging, the whole production packaging around the IPL, there's still 3 or 4 weeks left. It needs to change. The messaging needs to be more subliminal. It needs to be toned down. If you're saying that you're doing a service, then do it precisely like that. Don't be tone deaf. Don't tell people, okay, you know what? We are rich enough to own teams and enjoy ourselves while you're dying. The bio bubble, I can vouch for it. The bio bubble right now, the IPL bio bubble right now is one of the safest places to be. If you're in the bio bubble, you're very safe because they're taking every possible precaution. No external food, nothing, absolutely nothing. I know some details. I can't say them out aloud, but some of the franchisees are so stringent. Again, I can't say them out, but they're just so stringent. And some of the other franchises are also taking so much precautions. The BCCI has stepped up in a big way in terms of keeping the bio bubbles. So if you're in the bio bubble, in the IPL bio bubble, just consider yourself lucky. Just make sure that you're not tone deaf to whatever is happening outside. Now, coming to the second part of what you just said, look, last year, the BCCI, the IPL, the Indian cricketers, they all donated to the PM CARES Fund. They've all done that time and again. They all have different charities they're associated with from time to time that they donate to. But sometimes, and in this particular case, the optics are important. It doesn't look good when you have Pat Cummins making a donation, Brett Lee making a donation, but the BCCI and IPL keeping silent. The IPL sponsors are starting to do their job now. They're starting to come up with contributions. Cred being an example, they are working towards getting oxygen and medical supplies. So I think all the franchisees need to make one generous donation. I mean, you can't really force them to, but it is a suggestion. Maybe you can do that. Maybe the cricketers can do that. Maybe the BCCI IPL can do that. I mean, we're sitting on a very fine line, Daniel. On the one hand, we are discussing whether it's morally right for the IPL to go on or not. On the other hand, we are discussing, is it morally right for cricketers to be making secret contributions or not? So at the moment, there is no right or wrong. It's just such a fine line that cricket fans like yourself and myself and others are feeling helpless. But at the same time, we can't say no, don't play, because at some point you just need to see live sport and feel that all is well, that life is normal.
Quick thought and a quick question. The thought is, I don't know what is gained by cancelling the IPL, except if the IPL was causing distress. And that's a question that you are in a much, much better place to answer than I am from over here. Because obviously, the instinct for an English cricket lover is that he just wants to see the cricket. You know, we just love turning on the IPL at 3 o'clock and watching it. So it's hard for us because we have a natural selfishness to want to see that. But you're far better placed to know, you know, whether it is seemly to do, whether it's ethically right, whether it's causing distress to people who are already distressed. And then a question really is, do you think that the IPL is in danger of shutting down? And if so, what would be the steps that would make it shut down? Would it be a sudden exodus of international players, or would it be, in many ways, an exodus of the Indian players? I mean, from looking from the outside in, I thought R. Ashwin's decision to leave was in many ways more significant, perhaps, than the Australian players' decision, because it really showed, you know, the anxiety for the Indian players who make up the bulk of the IPL on the ground, who have relatives who are in trouble, who have you know, anxieties that are completely understandable. So, yeah, a long-winded question, but the question is, will it survive? Will it make it through to the end? And if not, what do you think would cause it to shut down, be postponed, be put in abeyance, whatever method they might use?
I'll come to the first point, Daniel, when you said, is it causing any distress? No, it's not really, is it? I think people who are locked in, they're saying, what's the harm in the IPL continuing as long as it's in the bio bubbles? And now here I want to give the example of when I mentioned earlier that, is everybody locked up? No, because I live in Delhi and Delhi is struggling for oxygen. But for the past 2 days, I've been hearing wedding processions. The Delhi government is allowing weddings to go on where a 50 people gathering is allowed. There are weddings going on across the entire country where 30 to 50 people are allowed. So if Indian citizens think that gathering 50 people right now is the right decision, then of course, playing the IPL is the right decision as well. So the IPL can sometimes be a very soft target. We have had Bollywood celebrities until last week, Bollywood celebrities, the film stars of this country, flying off to Maldives in the middle of a pandemic, flying off to Maldives for a holiday. That was before Maldives locked it down, that no Indian travelers allowed anymore. So they are being tone deaf. Similarly, as tone deaf as the cricketers and the BCCI and the IPL. So the IPL can sometimes become a very soft target. There's a newspaper that said, okay, you know what? We're not going to cover any more IPL. Have they stopped covering entire sport? Are they covering other sport? Are they covering other entertainment? Are they covering cinema? Even politics for that matter. Why are you covering anything? Why does the IPL coverage need to stop? Again, like I said, there's no right or wrong here. But what I'm saying is the IPL sometimes can be a soft target. So is it causing, that's the question. That's the key question. Is it causing distress to people? No, it's not. It's not hurting anybody. It's not spreading the disease like some of the religious congregations this year or last year or the election rallies. It's not doing that. It's not gathering people and saying, okay, come watch. No, at least in that sense, the IPL is very careful. No fans are allowed. Nobody is allowed. No media is allowed. And I'm pretty sure that this entourage that comes with the teams will also be banned at some point. So in that sense, the IPL is being very careful, very watchful, very protective of its own property. And it's trying to make sure that the show goes on. So that's the answer to your question about causing distress. No, it's not. And that's why it perhaps should carry on. Now, you asked me how it could stop or what would make it stop, really. It's not an easy answer. Of course, Ashwin leaving the camp was very, very difficult. But on the other side of the spectrum, we also have MS Dhoni, whose parents were infected by the virus. And he's chosen to play on. He's not leaving the bio bubble. His best wishes to his parents. Hopefully, they get well as soon as possible. But the different players on the different side of the spectrum, we have to respect Ashwin's decision. We have to respect MS Dhoni's decision that he wants to stay on. He wants to play on. The Australian players want to go back. Good for them. We respect that. The New Zealand players want to stay on. The South African players want to stay on. The English players want to stay on. So good on them. We respect that. And we are thankful for that the IPL can go on. You asked me straight away what can make it stop. If the bio bubble is breached, I think. If there is any positive case which comes to public light, I think the IPL will have to stop then. If there is a mass exodus of foreign cricketers, the IPL will have to stop then. Yes, it can only happen if things go on and become even worse from here. The governments are trying to get the oxygen, the supplies. At some point, you assume the chain of the viral infection is going to break. If none of that works, if it keeps getting worse, worse, worse over the next 15 days, then you might think that the foreign cricketers might not want to stay. These are the two things that can make it stop. But until that happens, I think the IPL will go on.
Chetan, I just want to send from England, you know, all of our heartiest support, because we do know what it's like. We've experienced our own terrible wave. I don't think it was quite as bad as what you're enduring, but we understand the flavour of it, and you have our absolute sympathy and support from everybody around the world. It will be concerning, I think, the next couple of weeks. We will have to keep a really close eye on this, because we all know that infection levels increase way before the hospital levels increase, I'm afraid, because there's a lag time. So, you know, this could be a rapidly shifting situation. The cricket has been great to watch. We've loved it. It's been a great distraction from our We're in a much better state now in Britain, and that's a place that I really look forward to India being in. But we're still sort of coming slowly out of lockdown. Everyone's making little baby steps towards normality, and having the cricket on has been fantastic for us as we approach normality. We can only send our thoughts and hopes and prayers, if you're religious, to Indians out there at the moment who are suffering and undergoing a truly horrendous experience, and say stay safe and stay indoors and do the things that the IPL commentators are starting to tell you to do. So
yeah, thank you so much, Daniel, and thanks for all of UK's support, and obviously through the medium of this podcast, whoever is listening here at Hotspot, we want to tell you to stay indoors, mask up. If you must go out, if you don't need to go out, please don't go out. Please stay inside. Please mask up. And watch the IPL because it's going on. Keep listening to the podcast. But most of all, please stay safe. We're all in this together. Well, we will all, and not just the Indians, the entire world, we will come across on the other side. And one day, all will be good. Of course, just one more thing. If you can get vaccinated, if it's your time or if it's your turn to get vaccinated, please do get vaccinated as well. That brings us to the end of this episode. It was an important episode to discuss what is happening with the IPL situation in India. Just good wishes to the entire country and the entire world in these horrific times. Do join in when we bring out the next episode. Until then, goodbye.
Goodbye.